This is Spencer King, Editor-in-Chief of AXL. AXL is the American College of Cardiologists' extended learning series featuring conversations in cardiology with the scientists who conduct research in our field and the clinicians who are translating that research into clinical practice. You're about to hear an interview from our latest issue. As an AXL subscriber, you will receive 24 new interviews each month. Plus, depending on your subscription level, you will have access to hundreds of interviews in our digital library. With AXL, you can stream or download your content for convenient offline access to your mobile device. And each interview qualifies for CME credit and MOC self-assessment points. For more information, visit acc.org/AXL. Up next, listen to a conversation I had with Ajay Courtenay, Associate Professor of Medicine at Columbia University and Director of Cardiac Catheterization Laboratories at New York Presbyterian Hospital. We discuss Evolve Short DAPT. It is a single-arm study of 3-month DAPT in patients at high bleeding risk treated with a bioabsorbable polymer-based everolimus eluting stent. Ajay, welcome to AXL.
Thanks so much for having me.
In studying this, let's get how you investigated these high bleeding risk patients. Let's start with the structure of the trial. How did you design this study?
Sure. I think one of the things that should be mentioned is just the historical perspective on this. As you know, there was a big scare of late stent thrombosis in 2006. And so extensions of dual antiplatelet therapy to 12 months and even beyond became kind of standard. And the challenge really was for patients at high risk for bleeding, that's a long time. And for folks that have a GI bleed, for instance, or need surgery or something like that, we've known many physicians who just try to keep them on the dual antiplatelet therapy because they're worried about the stent thrombosing. And so the idea for this study was to determine if one could abbreviate that duration and go down to 3 months as a way of still ensuring safety on the ischemic side, but because you could abbreviate the therapy, perhaps bleeding would be reduced as well.
Okay, before we get into how you studied that, certainly it's always a balance between bleeding and stent thrombosis. Stents have improved somewhat now. What stent are you actually studying in this trial?
So this study was with the Synergy stent. So it's a thinner strutted stent with a bioabsorbable polymer only ablumally delivered with a degradation time of about 4 months. And so the idea here is that that could be a potentially ideal stent platform to look at abbreviated durations of DAPT.
How did you investigate it?
This was a non-randomized trial, and we certainly feel that randomized trial data is the highest standard of evidence. But the challenge with doing a study in the United States of an abbreviated duration of DAPT is that there are no other drug-eluting stents approved with shorter durations of DAPT. And to go against a bare metal stent would be very, very hard to do in a randomized trial because their usage has declined so much. So the idea here was to take a non-randomized sample, so prospectively study 2,000 patients, and look at what would happen if one stopped their P2Y12 inhibitor at 3 months, and then compare that to either a performance goal or a historical control group of patients from other studies that have already been conducted.
So there have been other studies with other stents looking at the same kind of high bleeding risk patient with no polymer on them. This is one with a polymer, but absorbable polymer, is that right? So you end up with kind of a bare metal platform at the end.
That's correct. And then the drug-coated stent platform that was studied in Leaders Free, again, outside the U.S., Onyx 1 outside the U.S., the only way to do those randomizations is to do them outside the U.S. where that is feasible.
Let's move on to your results. What did you find?
I think the two key findings relate to the co-primary endpoints of the study. The first was death or myocardial infarction, and the second was stent thrombosis. And when we looked at the overall rate of events and adjusted that for just differences between the study population and the historical control, the rates of death or myocardial infarction were basically identical, 5.6% with the 3-month DAPT duration and 5.7% with 12-month DAPT duration. So that met the pre-specified criteria for non-inferiority, suggesting that the 3-month DAPT duration was non-inferior to the 12. When we looked at stent thrombosis, that was compared to a performance goal. And the idea was is to be less than 1% between 3 months and 15 months. And there were 4 patients with stent thrombosis, so an overall rate of 0.3%, which was, again, well within the confidence interval of the margin that was set. So as a result, I think we can conclude that the stent met both co-primary endpoint criteria for ischemic safety.
So stent thrombosis exceedingly low. Were these representative patients that we're seeing every day?
So big caveat there. And so because this was a U.S. enrolled population, the FDA had mandated that the patients be relatively non-complex. So there were no myocardial infarctions. Patients couldn't have complex disease like CTOs, left mains, and vein grafts. But other than that, they were generally representative. Patients with age greater than 75 years old and other comorbidities like atrial fibrillation that occurred in about 30% of patients.
So the bleeding risk was high. Give us a little flavor of the kind of patients as far as the entry criteria for bleeding risk.
That was the key thing, is these were not patients who were low risk for bleeding. They were identified as high risk for bleeding.
Particularly if the patient does not have super complicated disease, because you did not study all of those. So I guess it's still a question about what you do. Now, there are some movement to say, well, all these got aspirin long-term and they had a fair amount of bleeding. What about the strategy of dropping the aspirin and going with a PTY12 inhibitor? I know that's not part of your trial, but what do you think of that?
I think, you know, first, your summary of it is exactly correct. I think the idea here is that if you have a patient at high bleeding risk, if you have to stop at 3 months with the Synergy stent, that seems to be associated with a very low rate of stent thrombosis and adverse ischemic events. So that's a good thing. The question is should we continue for other reasons? For instance, MI is outside the stented zone, just general cardioprotection. And then also, could we further modify what we do with antithrombotic therapy by further de-escalation, dropping aspirin, or even potentially using other drugs, that sort of thing? And those questions remain open. One of the nice things about TCT this year, though, is there are several studies looking at this concept of de-escalation, either by timing or by intensity, and I think it's an active area of excitement, because ultimately patients, we don't want them to have bleeding issues, and we just want to make sure they're safe from the ischemic outcomes.
Bleeding is not a benign thing, and certainly with every patient, we all have to make that judgment about how long to continue and how vigorously to continue the anticoagulation. But in these patients who are at high bleeding risk, and remind me again, what was the rate of bleeding in this group?
It was just over 7% of BARC bleeding, but that's bleeding between 3 and 15 months. So it excludes bleeds that occurred between 0 and 3, because just by definition, we couldn't enroll those patients.
So 7% late bleeding and 0.3% stent thrombosis. Seems like we're in a range with this kind of low-profile stent, at least. We're looking at maybe a different concept than we had years ago, when we were so scared of stent thrombosis. Now maybe we should be more scared of bleeding.
Well, I think that's entirely right. And oftentimes patients will talk to us too in the office, a lot of bruising and bleeding and those types of things. And so it's important to listen to our patients. Recall though, the 7% does include BARC 2 bleeds, which are not big, big bleeds, but so-called nuisance bleeds are really nuisance things for patients. And so I think the best thing about a study like this and all the other studies being presented at TCT are that they give investigators and patients and their physicians confidence to, if patients have to stop, that seems to be okay, especially if the patient is not super high risk.
Well, that's a great summary. Thanks so much for visiting with us and moving the field forward with this important study.
Thanks for having me.
This is Spencer King, Editor-in-Chief of Axel, and you've been listening to an interview from our recent issue. For more information on how to subscribe to Axel and receive additional interviews published each month, go to acc.org/Axel.